Yeah. I was writing a title like as people were walking around the side. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There have been innumerable theological man hours devoted to making memes about God. God is a cat deciding on a whim to be done with belly scratches. God as Amelia Bedelia taking everything literally. God destroying the wrong ice and burning the wrong Amazon. God dictating to a hapless angel how to construct bizarre creatures like bees or spiders. One of my favorites is the simple realization that if God created every living being on earth, God had a really weird fondness for beetles. I mean, they're like a fourth of all life forms on earth. You can almost picture God in the Garden of Eden, bringing armfuls of beetles to Adam to name, and being really perplexed when Adam just doesn't like them. Too many legs, like, creepy and weird. Speaking of books, when I looked over the lectionary for this week, I found this passage from Joel and immediately knew it was what I would be preaching on. The book of Joel seldom turns up in the lectionary. It's clear why. It's mostly just about a lot of locusts, and they're huge. Before you get to this passage in the second chapter of Joel, they swarm like an army, as big as horses. They go over mountains and eat everything in their path. Then, to the devastated people, comes God's promise. It starts off so easy and ends so uneasy. First, God's covenant with the people is restored. There is abundant rain, overflowing vats of oil and wine. There are prophecies and dreams for all people, regardless of gender or status. And then portents in the sky and a literal blood moon. Mentions of survivors make it clear that some people will not survive. Triumph and joy intertwined with suffering and loss and destruction. Great and terrible. The line in this passage that shocked me to my core was, I will repay you for the years the swarming locust has eaten. Because these bugs have not only consumed food and livestock and livelihoods, they've consumed time itself. In researching this sermon, I found Instagram posts about this line with really pretty pictures, celebrating it as God's victory over all the locusts in our lives. And it is that, in a way. I think of all the years I have lost to my locusts, anxiety, depression, grief, and self-doubt, and how wonderful it would be to be repaid for them. But while God's promise in this chapter is often cited as restoration, it feels more like reformation to me. When all is repaid by God, there is something there that wasn't there before. What I take from this passage is that God's vision of what repaying means seldom lines up to what it means to us as people of God. When I imagine what I would want after a bunch of giant bugs swarmed and decimated my land, I settle on words like restoration and peace. I would like food and for all the plants to grow back. I'd maybe like to have a great feast. I'd like to never see a locust again. What I don't think I'd like is fire and smoke in the sky. I don't think I'd like everyone around me dropping to their knees with visions and dreams, nor do I think I would like everyone, even the people I don't like, to suddenly be filled with some great and terrible Holy Spirit. But the author of this passage argues that sounds wonderful to our God, lover of beetles and banisher of locusts. Lest you think this is my brilliant analysis, this Sunday is also known as Reformation Sunday. It is the day we Methodists celebrate the Protestant Reformation and all of the fracturings of our Christian community that came after, including, of course, those that loom on the horizon. The United Methodist Church has taken many iterations over the years. In the 18th and 19th and 20th and 21st centuries, many Black Methodists were forced out to form churches, including the African Methodist Episcopal Church. In the 1960s, the United Brethren were brought in. And against the backdrop of shuttering churches and dwindling attendance comes our newest chance at reformation, a truly reconciling denomination that strives to come to terms with all of it. What will that process look like in the coming years? Will it be comfortable, easy, quick bureaucratic decision-making, a clean break? Or will there be fire in the sky, smoke and a dim sun, and people of all genders giving prophecy? God's reformation is radical and uncomfortable and bittersweet. It dismantles systems we hate and many that we kind of like too. It tears down structures that serve most people, or at least some people, just fine, while leaving others to locusts. It tears apart families and friendships and privileges. And that kind of disconnect is where those memes about God come from. God is a fickle cat. God is Amelia Bedelia. Because when we plead, save us, we already have a picture in mind of what that will look like. When we say, take my life, we are already imagining where it will be taken. When we pray for strength or comfort or forgiveness, we are already assuming that is what we need in that moment. God's idea of reformation is not ours. Unbeknownst to you, in the call to worship you read earlier, you recited lines from Sarah Bareilles' song, I Just Want You. Take it all away. If it isn't meant for me, I don't want the easy way. I just want you. You can give me everything, but at the end of the day, the only words I'll say are, I just want you. What is so radical to me about these words, which I'm almost certain are addressed to God and not like a boyfriend or ex-boyfriend or partner or anything like that, is the sheer simplicity of it. The openness. The removal of expectation. A sense of surrender. When we say, I just want you, God, and really mean it, we are saying yes to reformation that feels for a time like death. We are saying yes to someone who already knows everything we will become. We are saying yes to inexplicable grace and a plan for creation that is above human conception. We are saying yes to a banisher of a locust army, and perhaps its general. And we are saying yes to more species of beetles than we really care for. There's another part of this passage that I have not adequately addressed. The part that says, my people shall never again be put to shame, over and over again. Because my concerns about the fire in the sky and how all I really want is a feast come from my position as a person of privilege. There's one more meme I want to talk to you about tonight. And it's a meme that I love of a possum snarling on top of a garbage can. Don't touch my garbage, it reads. I can't speak for all of you, or even most of you, but when I read this part of Joel and think about future reformations in my life, I am that possum. I am not reading Joel as a person facing hopeless devastation. I am not reading as a person staring down the barrel of injustice or starvation or ruination. I am not reading as a person for whom the promise of no more shame makes all the fire and smoke worth it. The things that make me feel hopeless in 2019 are the election, climate change, and the fact that one day I might not be able to be a United Methodist clergywoman. And yet I cling to my comfortable pile of garbage, not least of which is the quiet, dark hope that maybe, as a bisexual woman, I can straight pass my way to ordination. Maybe everything will stay together long enough for me to get what I need. Everyone else be damned. Maybe I can get that restoration without the reformation. My personal Garden of Eden without all the beetles. And in those moments, Joel isn't talking to me. Jesus Christ sure as heck isn't talking to me. And the God of Abraham is well within her rights to burn my garbage to the ground. And so I recite the ancient words of Sarah Bareilles over and over again. Take it all away. If it isn't meant for me, I don't want the easy way. I just want you. Thank you.